ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
This evening, if you would, please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12 as we continue our study through the Word of God. And we're moving along here. We've got another week to go in Hebrews before we move on. But last week, we finished up looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and we looked at that great Hall of Faith section, and we spent 4 weeks looking at these men and women of faith. And really, beginning in Hebrews 11 and continuing on to chapter 13 of Hebrews, the end of this letter, Paul's showing us the superiority of Jesus over the principle of faith. Why was this important to the people that were receiving this letter? Well, keep in mind these were Jewish believers in Jerusalem, and they needed that encouragement because they were being drawn back into Judaism, back to the law because of the persecution they were facing. Again, it was what they also grew up with. The temple was there. The sacrifices were being made. All the stuff was going on, and they thought, why not go back to it? And Paul shows them how these Old Testament saints lived, looking ahead to the promise of the Messiah and how they as Christians can now look back at the finished work of the Messiah and they could walk by faith. They could look and see what these men and women of faith, how they lived out their faith, all the troubles they faced, the difficulties, and yet they forged ahead. And even though they were going through difficult times now in Jerusalem for their faith in Christ, look at these men and women and go forward. That's the whole idea. And we kind of broke this whole section down, the superiority of Jesus over the principle of faith, into 3 sections. In Hebrews 11 was just the examples of faith, and we talked about that. These Old Testament saints that lived a life of faith, and Paul in Hebrews 11:13 put it like this. He said, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Well, tonight, we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12, and we're going to see the endurance of faith, how we're to run in this race that is set before us. And then next week, as we conclude this letter in Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to see the exhortation of faith. And here's the thing. I don't know about you, but I know I need encouragement, and I think if I asked you guys, we all need encouragement, especially when we're going through difficult times. And I guess if that's where you're at this evening, listen carefully to what Paul is saying and then run the race that is set before you with endurance. If you're not going through a difficult time right now, hang on, you will. Sorry, that's just the reality. We're going to go through difficult times as Christians. We went through difficult times even before we were saved. But now we have someone to put our faith in, our trust in. So when you do go through these things, learn these lessons so you can run the race with endurance. So let's pick up Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 1, and see what the Lord has for us this evening as we study through his word. Paul wrote this, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, as some read what Paul wrote here in Hebrews 12:1, they feel it's speaking of these witnesses in heaven cheering us on in the race we're in. I don't think that's what Paul's talking about. I don't think when we get to heaven, we're really going to know a whole lot about what's going on here. I don't think we're going to care. We're going to be with Jesus. I think what Paul's doing is, as he opens up chapter 12, he uses this word therefore. In other words, what Paul's doing is he's linking us back to what he's just spoken about in Hebrews chapter 11. And he's going to make the application here in Hebrews chapter 12. What was he speaking of? That he wants these Jewish believers who were struggling with their faith because of the persecution they were facing? It was these examples of these men and women of faith to encourage them to continue on with endurance. In fact, the word witness in the Greek doesn't mean spectators, but it's a Greek word from which we get our English word martyr from. Look at what these Old Testament saints endured, the faith they had, and use that to spur you on. And I hope you've seen, as we've gone through the Old Testament scriptures, how many of these dear saints lived with adversity. They endured all kinds of hardships, and yet, through it all, they trusted in God's promises. In other words, they lived by faith as they kept their eyes on the eternal, not on the temporal. And because of their faith, I think it encourages us. Even looking at these New Testament saints, as we read, the Gospels and we read the epistles, can encourage us. We see all the things they went through. And make no mistake about it, many of the people of the Old Testament lived by faith and they finished their journey strong. And I think that's what God wants us to do, to finish the race strong. You know, Paul said in Hebrews 11:2, "For by it, their faith, the elders obtained a good testimony." Absolutely. And in Hebrews 11:4, Paul wrote, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks." In other words, Paul's saying that the witness of Abel speaks to us today. His faith in the Lord is encouraging us to go forward. Once we understand who this letter is to and the things they were going through, the struggles these Jewish believers were facing, I think we could also then say, all right, what does God have for me? Obviously, this happened. This was a struggle for these people. But the Holy Spirit also has it in here because we go through these difficult times. We need that encouragement. And I think what the Holy Spirit is basically saying is, look at the example of faith these Old Testament saints had. All they endured and then run accordingly. It can be done. They did it and they had less light to run than you do. And yet they were victorious, and so we can be victorious. Think about it. We look back at the finished work of the Messiah. All they could do is look forward to the coming Messiah, the promises of God. Paul in Hebrews 11, verses 39 and 40 said, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, the Messiah." He didn't come yet. "God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." We have all that going for us, guys, and it's great. But there is another problem, and that's this issue of what's stopping us from running this race. What's hindering us from running this race? And Paul speaks about two different things that can hinder us in this race that we're in, this race of faith. First of all, he speaks of weight. And it's not a necessarily bad or evil, but things that can come into our life and weigh us down so we can't finish the race that God has set before us with endurance. We can't finish strong. I mean, think about it. The more weight we put on in our physical bodies, the harder it is to do things we did when we didn't have all that weight on. And I'll give you an example, and you'll see what I mean. And it's kind of over the top, but I'm doing that on purpose. Imagine a marathon runner, 26.2 miles. He's going to run. It's a long race. And, you're running for 3, 4, maybe 5 hours. It depends how slow or fast you're running. And you're probably going to get hungry. So you pull a refrigerator along with you in this marathon. Ridiculous. But also, it can get boring. So you got a portable DVD player so you can watch a movie. You got to occupy your time 4 or 5 hours. You could see a whole movie plus, right? Maybe 2 movies. You bring a newspaper just to catch up on the news. You didn't get to read it that morning, or a favorite book. Are any of those things wrong or any of those things evil? No. Well, what's the problem? The problem is simple. It will hinder him from finishing the race. It will weigh him down. I mean, look at these marathon runners. It's kind of funny. They have the lightest shoes and clothes you can imagine. Why? Because the more weight you have, multiply that out times 26.2 miles, you got to carry it with you. So the less you're wearing, the easier it's going to be. We as Christians can't win or run well if we're carrying excess weight around. And for us, it could be anything that distracts us from Christ, that keeps us from doing what he has called us to do. And for these Jewish believers, it was legalism, the old religious ways that kept them from going forward. It was drawing them. It was heavy, holding them down. And I guess the question is for us, you know, what's holding us down? What's holding us back? What's weighing us down so we can't run? And we got to get rid of it. You know, years ago, when I was back in Illinois, it was running that was the thing that hindered me, because I was spending all my time running. And it was taking my time away from the Lord. And I had to cut it completely out. And it wasn't only probably 3 or 4 years ago that the Lord opened that door up for me to start running again. Now, hopefully a little wiser, I don't use it. I don't spend all my time running. It's just part of my day. Well, secondly, Paul speaks of sin. And it's a harmatia. It means missing the mark of coming up short, an offense before God. And any sin will hinder our progress. And here it is the sin, and I think it's speaking of really unbelief. Not a salvation issue here, an issue of believing that God will accomplish what he's promised, that he'll see us through whatever we're going through. And that can hinder us. You know, what has God promised us? Do we believe it? Or is our unbelief hindering our going forward? You know, over the years in ministry, it's easy to get discouraged. I know what God promised when he brought me up here. And that's something I always try to fall back on when I am getting discouraged and wondering, oh man, what's going on? Look at this, look at that. And then I go, well, wait a minute, he promised this to me. Why do I have unbelief in his promise to me? You see, that will hinder me from going forward if I don't believe. And we have to be careful about that. The enemy loves to use unbelief and any sin, really, to trip us up. It's a hindrance. What can we do about it? Paul says we're to lay it aside. Cast it off. Put it away. Get rid of it. Here's the thing, and I guess the problem. We have choices. God lays out what he has for us, right? Now we have a choice. Do I believe it or don't I? Am I going to listen to him or not listen to him? Whatever we're doing that goes against what God says, it can hinder our walk with him. It could hinder what we're doing, or it could propel us forward. You see, these things are trying to ensnare us or entangle us. And it's like an ambush to our faith. But they don't have to be. We can run the race with endurance. In fact, the word endurance translates the ancient Greek word hupomone, which doesn't mean the patience which sits down and accepts things, but the patience which masters them. It's kind of a determination, undelaying, goes steadily on, refuses to be deflected. The Christian race is not a jog down rose-petaled paths. It's a life of trials. It's a life of struggles, suffering, adversity. And it makes our race difficult and painful at times, but we have to keep going. I remember, I think it was last year I was in a race, and it was on a course in a forest where the school used it, or the rec department used it for cross-country skiing. Well, it was fall, and obviously there was no snow. So they had lights up and stuff, but it was a tough course. There was a hill that I was running down that I didn't realize how steep it was, and I almost fell flat on my face. My little legs couldn't keep up, and I almost tripped. And that's the whole idea here. You know, don't let these things get in your way. The sin that's trying to ensnare you or entangle you and trip you up, be careful. In fact, you know, this word for race is a Greek word from which we get our English word agony from. I think that's kind of interesting. Yeah, this life is one that faces conflict, struggles, like I said. Have any of you experienced that in your life? And if you say no, we all have. These things that happen in our lives, when it's difficult, it could stop us dead in our tracks. We don't want to move forward in the race that's set before us. One writer said this, In a day when so many things and people fight for our attention, we can experience a paralysis of personal energy. John Maxwell explains this frozen feeling that can easily overwhelm us. He wrote, William H. Hinson tells us why animal trainers carry a stool when they go into a cage of lions. They have their whips, of course, and their pistols are at their sides. But invariably, they also carry a stool. This is interesting, because I didn't realize this. I thought they carried the stool just to kind of smack the lion if he got out of the line, right? No. Hinson says it is the most important tool of the trainer. He holds the stool by the back and thrusts the legs towards the face of the wild animal. Those who know maintain that the animal tries to focus on all four legs at once. In the attempt to focus on all four, a kind of paralysis overwhelms the animal and it becomes tame, weak, and disabled because its attention is fragmented. I thought, wow, that nails it. That's what happens in our lives. I mean, has anyone heard about this COVID thing that's going around? I mean, there's so many distractions. What about, is there this election that's coming up for president? Has anyone heard about that? More distractions. There's two legs to that stool, right? There's so many things out there. And we're fragmented and we've lost our focus because we're trying to focus on all these other things. And God's up here going, Joe, I'm right here. Joe, look up. Stop looking at all that stuff and start looking at me. Fix our eyes on Jesus and run the race with endurance. And that's really what Paul is going to talk about next. Because I think it is so easy to lose focus, to be distracted. And it does, it almost paralyzes people. You know, people want to just stay in their homes. They don't want to go anywhere. They don't want to watch anything on the news anymore. They just want to kind of get away from this world. What can we do to change that? Look at here in Hebrews 12, verse 2. It starts out with the answer. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, make no mistake about it. When you are in a race, you have to stay focused. You can't be distracted by anything or anyone. Because if you take your eyes off the goal, you're going to trip, you stumble, you're going to lose the race. I remember in a playoff game several years ago, as one of the Chicago Bears players intercepted a pass. And he was running it all the way back for a touchdown. And you know how they kind of get a little too proud about it? And just running, you know, just kind of just going in. And a player from the opposing team came across the field and smacked that ball right out of his hand. And he didn't make the touchdown. He didn't finish the race. He took his eyes off the goal line. And now the ball was at the 1 or 2 yard line. He missed the mark because he wasn't paying attention. And our focus, Paul says, Jesus, looking unto Jesus. The New American Standard Version translates it like this, and I like it, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Don't we need to be reminded of that, especially in the days we're living in? I think so. Fix our eyes on Jesus. It's a willful effort on our part. Spurgeon put it like this. He said, the Greek word for looking is a much fuller word than we can find in the English language. It has a preposition in it which turns the look away from everything else. You are to look away from all besides and to Jesus. Fix not thy gaze upon the cloud of witnesses. They will hinder thee if they take away thy eye from Jesus. Look not on the weights and the besetting sin. These thou hast laid aside. Look away from them. Do not even look upon the race course or the competitors, but look to Jesus and so start in the race. That's important. And here's the wonderful thing. Jesus is the author of our faith, the chief leader it speaks of. He leads the way for us to follow. And that tells me we have to keep our eyes on him, right? It just makes sense. Looking unto Jesus, he's the forerunner of the faith, our faith, that has been set before us. He's the perfect example for us to follow. In Hebrews 4:15, we see this played out. Paul wrote, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." Well, there's our example. Follow after him, because Jesus pioneered the path of faith that we as Christians are to follow after. But he's not just the author of our faith. He's also the finisher of our faith. And it's a Greek word that speaks of completing the work. He's going to carry us through to completion. I've dealt with so many Christians that struggle with this. They don't think that God's going to be able to complete the work, that they failed. But Jesus will carry us through. Philippians 1:6. Paul said, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to complete what he started in each of our lives. The Amplified Bible puts it like this. He said, "And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you." Wow. I love that. Jesus not only began the work, he not only guides us in the work we're doing, but he's going to complete the work in each of us as we follow him. But again, the problem comes when we take our eyes off of Jesus, when other things in our lives distract us and we could get tripped up. I mean, this is a true story. Back on August 7th, 1954, it was during the British Empire Games in Vancouver, Canada, and one of the greatest mile run matchups that ever took place. In fact, it was touted as the Miracle Mile because Roger Bannister and John Landy were the only two sub-4-minute milers in the world. And Bannister had been the first man ever to run a 4-minute mile. And both these guys were in peak condition. They were ready for this race. Dr. Bannister, who is today Sir Roger and master of an Oxford College, strategized that he would relax during the third lap and save everything for his finishing drive. But as it began the third lap, John Landy poured it on, stretching his already substantial lead. Immediately, Bannister adjusted his strategy, increasing his pace and gaining on Landy. The lead was cut in half, and at the bell for the final lap, they were even. Landy began running even faster, and Bannister followed suit. He felt he was going to lose if Landy didn't slow down. Then came the famous moment, replayed thousands of times in print and celluloid. As at the last stride before the home stretch, the crowds roared. Landy could not hear Bannister's footfall, and thus compulsively looked back. A fatal lapse in concentration. Bannister launched his attack, and Landy didn't see him until he lost the lead. And Roger Bannister won the Miracle Mile that day by 5 yards. And Landy's lapse serves as a modern visualization of what the writer of Hebrews warned against in his earlier charge to run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Those who look away from Christ, the end goal of our race, aren't going to finish well. And this was exactly what was happening to some treading the stormy waters mounting around the early church. They began to take their eyes off of Christ and fix them instead on the hardships challenging them. They were, in fact, a microcosm of many in the modern church who have lost their focus through hardship, who say, "It all began so well, but I didn't expect this. I had problems before I became a Christian, but nothing like this. Thanks for the offer of the abundant life, but I've got an abundance of problems already. You go ahead, I think I'll take a breather." In the modern church today, we have been basically teaching people that life is going to be great. Just follow Jesus and everything. You're never going to have a problem in your life. And if you have a problem, it's your lack of faith. Are you kidding me? I'll just give you one example, Paul the Apostle. You mean to tell me he was not a man of faith? Look at all the struggles this guy went through. And I realize, you know, in these days we're living in, I think the heat's turned up. I think, you know, I've told you this before, what we see going on in California against churches will eventually come to the Midwest. It'll eventually get here. The persecution against churches is going to continue to grow. Are we going to be distracted by that? Or are we going to keep our eyes on Jesus and see what he wants us to do? Because I think there can be a revival. But it's got to start with us. Are we going to be fearful? Are we going to drop out of the race or slow down? Or be so distracted we don't even know which way to go anymore? I think we need to keep our eyes on Jesus and follow him because he's got the best path for us. We only finish well in the Christian race as we fix our eyes on the goal, Jesus Christ. If we take our eyes off him, if we become distracted with other things, we're not going to finish well. That's what the Holy Spirit is saying through Paul, and God's not wrong. And why did Jesus do this for us? The joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him?
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.